Okay, Book of Jude. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 6 just to refresh the context. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, for turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you, the saints, the preserved in Jesus Christ, I will put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people of out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So again, the Israelites coming out of Egypt was in reference to the ungodly men. The angels which kept not their first state is in reference to denying the only Lord Jesus Christ, the only Lord God and their Lord Jesus Christ. And the reference in 7 to Sodom and Gomorrah is a reference to the grace of God being turned into lasciviousness. And Jude comes in, he gives a Bible example. Best examples are Bible examples. But he gives a Bible example for each one of these instances and warns that there is judgment coming. Last week we saw a group of saved people come out of Egypt, saved out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and God still destroyed them in the wilderness because of unbelief going forward. Had enough faith to get out of Egypt, had enough faith to cross the Red Sea, but did not have enough faith to live for God in the wilderness. Didn't have enough faith to go into the promised land. Then we get to the angels. And so tonight we're looking at remember the fallen angels. Let's pray. Father, we need your help. God, what a message there is here for us. God, as we take a little bit of time and just assess what the Bible says about angels in general. But then, Father, we look at what happened when the angels denied the only Lord God and what happened with them and the judgment that befell them. And to think that we can deny you and not come off with punishment, chastisement, we have to be reminded of this. God, may you help us to remember you are God. You are the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are nothing. And God, help us to see it tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there is, in our society like never before, a growing animosity toward authority. It is happening with children toward their parents. We'll address that a little bit later on in the message. It is happening toward the police. It is happening toward the teachers in the schools. One guy down at a meeting this week was telling how that the teachers in a school not far from here are getting hit by their students on a regular basis. And the system is set up, they can't do anything about it. That's nonsense. You can do something about it. But unfortunately, those who deny authority in our society have more rights than people trying to enforce the authority. And so there is a problem with authority. That is going to be what we need to remember. God is still on the throne. The Word of God is still absolute authority. What God says still goes. And we need to remember that. Dealing with angels, for some reason, society is infatuated with angels rather than the God who created the angels. There are movies, songs, testimonies, etc. about how an angel showed up to bless some man. But how much is mentioned about Jesus showing up to die for man? So much focus on the angel. People have an idea that if an angel showed up, it could only be there to do them good. Well, if God showed up, he would be there to judge or punish them. Angels are one of the most falsely portrayed creatures of God's creation. Long blonde hair, two wings, women, our dead relatives finally getting their wings. All of those are very much misconceptions of angels. In fact, in our reading of the Bible, we don't see any two-winged angels. The only winged women we see is in the book of Zechariah show up sometime during that tribulation period, and they're not good. Dead relatives, we'll read a verse that shows that when you die and you're resurrected, you are on par with the angels, but you're not angels. So let's look at some verses. Actually, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you, because for the sake of time, I've got a list of verses. We're going to look at Bible truths about angels. We're just going to run through these, and then we're going to get to the message. So listen. If you want to write them down, good luck keeping up. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, "For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist." Never forget, God, the same God that is the creator of the earth and the world and you and I, is the creator of the angels, and they exist for him. That is the purpose. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." When an angel shows up, you don't always recognize that it's an angel. Now, I understand that that happened several times in the Old Testament. People did not recognize them as angels. They referred to them as men, and then it was later on found out they were angels. Does that still happen today? I see no reason why it could not. I'm not going to say that it does. But he says, it's in the Bible. Don't forget, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Who knows? I'm not going to go as far as to say Ruth is an angel tonight. She may be angelic. Her sisters probably don't think so. Now, but you know what? We don't know. What if they disappear? We never hear from them again. Who are those people? Now, I don't think they're angels. But hey, you know, stranger shows up. You never know who you're talking to. Hebrews 2:16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Jesus Christ, when he took a step down, he took a step down lower than the angels. He took the step down to man, and he did that for us. Hebrews 1:13 and 14, "But to the which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" He says, look, let's not get too much focus on the angel. Let's remember the God who created the angel. That's where we put the focus. And he says, I didn't give an angel a throne. He says, the angels are down there to be ministering spirits to saved people. They're under God's authority. 2 Peter 2:11, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord." Now, are angels powerful? Mm-hmm. I can point you to one that took out 180,000 men by himself in one night. That's pretty powerful. Psalm 8, 4, and 5, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Just because we're lower than them does not mean that we worship them. Remember Eve. Satan appears there and says, hey, you know what? God doesn't want you to eat this fruit, for in the day that you eat thereof, he knows ye shall be as gods, little g gods. I think he was referring to fallen angels there, and I think Eve knew full well what he was referring to. Hebrews 1, 4, and 5, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, at capital S, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Jesus is superior all the way along. 1 Peter 3:22, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You know what? We need to remind the devil and his fallen angels, you're still under Jesus. Jesus is still the king. He's still the Lord. He still has dominion. We aren't going to be, and we are not going to get in with any group that denies the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is still Lord. Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hey, you know what? If you want somebody on your side, an angel's not a bad person. But that angel being on your side is dependent upon the God who sends him. Exodus 14:19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And so being a protection between the Egyptian army and the Israelite army. How about this? Numbers 22:23, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her in the way. Boy, an angel could only show up to bless me. That angel had his sword out. That donkey had not seen that angel and turned to the side and gone straight ahead forward. Balaam would have lost his head that day. And he wouldn't have never saw what took it. Isn't that incredible? 2 Samuel 24:16, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. Here, an angel, they can only show up to do you good, right? Is there causing great destruction on the city of Jerusalem because of one man's sin? Acts 12:23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to God, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Herod gave a great speech. People started praising Herod instead of praising God. Herod started receiving that praise instead of giving it to God. Let me just tell you something. Somebody praises you, better bounce that off. The angel shows up, smites him, and Herod got worms real quick. Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Again, they're under God's authority. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. God's, look, these angels that are with God, they're holy angels. Matthew 25:41, the ones that didn't stay holy, says, then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. When an angel rebelled, there's punishment. Some are reserved in that punishment until the judgment right now. Some are running loose. 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't it amazing? You and I, if you're saved, we understand salvation. Isn't salvation great? I was a sinner on my way to hell. Now I'm a saved person on my way to heaven. I was headed for a disastrous eternity, and God loved me anyway. That's a wonderful thing. And God says, the angels sit up there and they look at that and, what is this? You know, the angels that fell, there is no salvation for them. 1 Corinthians 6:3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So look, you get into a problem in the church, get a conflict in the church, got to work some things out within people of the church, don't go to the judges. Says, let the church take care of it. And let the church make a judgment call on that. Why are you going to take it out to the world to let them judge it? And he says, you're going to judge angels. Okay, you know what angels we're going to be judging? I don't know how exactly it's going to work, but the ones that are reserved in judgment are going to stand, and we're going to stand in judgment against them someday, somehow. And I'm assuming at the great white throne judgment. Luke 20, 36. Neither can they die anymore. This is talking about saved people that are in the resurrection. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. It does not say we are angels. And it does not say that you died and got your wings. And if you die, you're not stuck here on earth trying to help people until you get your wings. And are the children of God being the children of the resurrection? So Jude 6 talks about these angels. He says, remember the angels. What we don't want to do, we don't want to have a misconception about angels. You want to know about angels? Read your Bible. Don't go to YouTube to find out about angels. There's going to be all kinds of wacky stuff out there. The Bible tells about angels. Stick to the Bible truth. You'll be okay. These angels were created by God to give him praise and to do his bidding. That's the purpose of their creation. These angels, certain ones, these ones that we're talking about in Jude 6, resented God's authority and the position and place God gave them. It says, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Let's go to Isaiah with me, Isaiah chapter 14. Hold Jude, we're coming right back. But Isaiah chapter 14, I want you to picture here and try to see the position. I'm not going to read the passage from Ezekiel. I believe it's 28, where it talks about Satan in his glory and the greatness that God created him and him being in Eden. Eden being the whole of the earth. Didn't say the Garden of Eden, but in Eden at that time. As we read here in Isaiah chapter 14, notice the progression that is here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Which means at this point in time, he had a place that was not necessarily in heaven. He was going to ascend into heaven. I think from reading the Bible and looking into the scriptures, I think that God had a place for him down on the earth as it was, and that Satan's place was here. And he says, I don't like the position that God gave me. I know people take the passage from Ezekiel and they say, well, he was the cherub that covereth. He was over the throne of God. There's nobody above God. You know, the cherubs, what did they do? They covered their face in the presence of God, and God was reminding him in that passage, you're the cherub that covereth. You're the cherub that has to cover your face in my presence. I'm great, you're not. We look at this, and he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Where is God's place? Psalms, the sides of the north. There's a little song that goes with that. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And it goes on. I can't remember the rest of the words. And you don't want me to sing it. If I sang it, the words would come back, but you don't want me to do that. But it says, in the sides of the north, the city of our great king. right, in the sides of the north. He says, I'm going to come up and I'm going to go to the sides of the north and I'm going to overthrow God. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. In my thinking, he's underneath the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. He says, you want the sides of the north? You're going to get the sides of the pit. Satan has a group of angels that he's going to take with him. They're going to leave their habitation, their appointed place that God gave them. And he says, those particular angels, not all of them that rebelled, but those that went with him to attack heaven are reserved in chains of darkness waiting the judgment. Okay, now, if someone says, I don't think it's quite that way, okay, I'm not going to overly be dogmatic on everything I just laid out. I read it, that's the way I understand it. Okay, I've tried to think it through. I've looked at the scriptures. If someone says, well, I think Satan was up there and he just rebelled in heaven, okay, it's okay. We can have a little bit of varying view on that. I just read the scriptures and taking an assessment of it. What we do know is this: he resented God's authority. He is the picture given to us of the people that deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis there, Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ, the authority that is seen in God. And you know what? People today hate authority. They hate God being over them. People hate God telling them what to do. They hate often the Word of God telling them what to do. Why is the Bible under so much attack today? Satan hates this book. It tells of his end. But people hate this book. I don't like that. Let's rewrite it. I got to get that out of there. That points too strongly to my sin. Let's change that word so it doesn't hammer down on me. Everybody, there's a Bible out there for everything. One person said, well, there's only one Quran. There's so many Bible versions, so the Quran must be true. Look, Satan doesn't hate the Quran. He's not trying to destroy the Quran. Satan never twisted the Quran. Satan didn't go to Eve and say, the word of Muhammad said this. Satan's been after the word of God and against the word of God because he hated the position that God put him in. He hated the placement that God put him in. He was unhappy with the condition that God put him in. Now remember last week the Israelites murmured, and God judged. And that was the remember from last week that we looked at. Well, look, what is complaining? It's hating the position God put you in. And if we start getting disgruntled with God and hating the position that God put us in and hating, sometimes being mad at God because this happened in my life, who are you? God has the authority. God didn't make any mistakes. God's still on the throne. And when we start complaining against God, we are disrespecting his authority and his power, and we're saying he didn't make the right move. Who are we to say that? So the estate, relatively speaking, is the principality given to them, the habitation, their specific dwelling place. I believe it was here for this specific group here on earth prior to their fall. You look at authority, and I want to just bring attention, and I want to remind you, parents, you have authority over your children. You know, parents, if you have the authority to say, child, I want you to sit here, stay there until I get back. And you should be able to walk away, teach them at home, Not necessarily here. Teach them at home. You bring them here, they'll already know how to obey. But you ought to be able to walk away, walk through that door, come back 10 minutes later, and that child ought to be right there. Because you have the authority given by God to do that. And you need to teach that child to respect that authority. Because if they don't respect your authority now, what are they going to do with God's authority later? See, you are training them. It's not, now, I will say this. There is a great benefit in teaching your child that simple thing. Hey, sit there till I get back. You know what? You can talk to that person. You can talk to that person. You don't have to worry about what's going on. You can glance from time to time. Yep, their head's still popping up over there. And you can do and be about your business. I'm not saying the child has to sit there before and after church every moment of every time. But I'm saying it sure makes it easy to accomplish things. Go to an airport. You got to check in. Child, you stay right here by this bag until I'm done talking to this lady up here. That child shouldn't move. It's for your benefit as an adult. It's for their benefit as a child. There's safety in that. There's confidence in that. You know, that child didn't wander off and get taken by a stranger because they were right there. They never moved. It is a great thing to teach your children authority, to let them understand that you are the parent. You have the authority. They're subject to you, but ultimately you're doing that for their very soul. You're doing that so that they understand later on when God says, hey, you're going to marry one man if you're a girl. You're going to marry one lady if you're a man. You're going to get married for life. And you know what? You're together. No divorce. Period. Work it out. God said, work it out. Work it out. Well, I just don't think that I have. Look, if the child can't sit on the pew, if the child won't respect the authority of mom and dad, when the child then wants to do what they want to do later on in life, they aren't going to look at the Bible and say, well, what's God's authority say? They're going to try to find every way around underneath that authority. Go out. Look at churches. Where's the authority of the Word of God? Go talk to most of them. They don't even know which one's the Bible. Why does the Bible get all changed up and everything? It takes away the authority of it. What's your Bible say? Well, you know, what's yours say? Well, you know, mine says this. That's a little bit. Mine says this. What just happened? The authority of the Word of God was undermined by devilish men working under devilish things to change the Word of God. The devil was the first to question the Word of God. So in Jude, verse 4, you've got certain men that deny the lordship, the dominion, the authority of Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. While we're still making friends tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Look at it with me, but I would have you know that the head of every man is who? Right? We don't get to take the second half of the verse without taking the first half. So you haven't read the second half yet. You probably know what's there. The head of every man is Christ. If you deny the headship of Christ over you, man, young men, older men, you deny the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ over you. You are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the authority. And then it goes on and says, and the head of the woman is the man. Boy, does our society hate that today. Well, ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. I have actually heard that come out of the mouth of certain people. Not here, just so you know. Not yet. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. There's authority. You know what Jesus said? Not my will, but thine be done. Even going to the cross. Father, this is a hard cup. All your wrath on all my mankind gets on me. God, is there another way? No, not my will, but thine be done. So man ought to say, not my will, but thine be done. And then woman says to her man, and by the way, the woman is to obey her own husband. Okay? Her own husband. And by the way, if the husband and the boss conflict, we have a problem. Supposed to obey her own husband. That conflict shouldn't exist. We get to verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the woman is not of the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the what? Angels. Now there's a couple things. You go to chapter 6 of Genesis. There was the problem of the sons of God intermarrying with the daughters of men. That's a problem. But I think there's a possibility here. He's reminding them these angels despised authority. These angels despised God's dominion. Women, you better be careful not to despise the dominion of the man that God has for you over you. And wife, if you despise the dominion that your husband has, the authority that your husband has, you're just like the devil despising the dominion that God has. And this is the way it is. The angels were designed for who? God. What does it say the woman was made for? Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Try saying that in public today. You get all the feminists mad at you. But it's the truth of the Word of God. People hate authority. Back to Jude. So, as the angels had to be removed from the presence of God and from the other angels. Now, what did God do? He says, you particular angels are going to be reserved. See what the Bible says there, verse 6. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. There's a certain group of angels that are chained. What did God do? He took them out of circulation. He took away any influence they have on other people. Rebellious people are dangerous people. God takes these angels and says, I'm taking away any influence you have. I'm taking away any position that you have. I'm putting you aside over here, and you're going to be reserved for judgment. Now, Satan still has plenty of other fallen angels. But this particular group were so bad They went up to heaven to attack God with Satan. He says, they're reserved. So, men who deny that Jesus has authority in the church need to be removed. Person comes along and says, Jesus doesn't have any authority over me. Well, you don't belong in church then. Unless you're here to repent. God made sure these angels were cut off from influencing other angels. What does God say to do with somebody that comes in and teaches heresy? Mark them, which caused division among you. It was specifically in that verse, Romans 16, concerning doctrine. Mark, avoid. Why? Because people that are in undermining, causing division aren't good for the church. Period. God did it with Satan. Look, who is Jude written for? Jude's not written to the angels. The angels don't need to be reminded what happened to them. They're written to people that need to contend for the faith because there's certain men creeping in unawares to the churches that are ungodly men. Certain men creeping in saying it's okay to live in lasciviousness. Certain men creeping in saying, you know what? The power and authority of God doesn't matter. The authority of the Word of God doesn't matter. I just think. I mean, look, you don't care what I just think. It makes all the rest of us think that we care what you just think, right? We care what God thinks. These disgruntled angels were just waiting for a leader. Satan stepped up. You know what? Sometimes there's an underlying group of people and they just murmuring and mumbling about everything. You know what they're waiting for? A leader. Somebody to lead the charge. For these people, it was Satan. One of the most beautiful created beings ever. And Satan leads the charge, and these angels go after him. We don't like where God put us. We're going to take the sides of the north. You think you're going to be on the throne? No, we're taking the throne. Can you imagine the audacity of that? God Almighty, who had created them. But watch a 2-year-old child come up and look at his mom and dad and say, no. Can you imagine ever doing that when you were a child? You girls imagine that? Look at your mom and dad and say, no. I tell you exactly what would happen. If one of my kids let that word slip out of their mouth, they'd have been like, I'm dead. What did I just say? How the shock that would have been on their face at that moment. And it should be that way. I know I wouldn't have killed him if he said that. Just half. These disgruntled angels just waiting for a leader. So disgruntled church members that don't like holiness, just to wait for a leader to rise up and overthrow pure doctrine, remove holy standards, get rid of rules, remove authority, change the music, whatever it may be. And sometimes it's just lying in wait. And Jude is writing, saying, I urge you, he says, I exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's the word of God. Contend for it. Stand on it. And when somebody comes by and says, That doesn't matter. Step back. Open the Bible and say, who made you God? Who gave you authority to change the Word of God? God's my authority and His Word is perfect. These angels who tried to rise against heaven are reserved in chains. 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Okay, specific set of angels that sinned. And, you know, we don't know, it possibly happened more than once. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, and while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. By the ark floating on the water specifically, but you look at this, and at some point, I assume, and this is not dogmatic, this is an assumption. The only time I can figure out where Jesus would have went and preached to these people is when Jesus died, and between when he died and when he rose again, he stopped by. The Bible says he wouldn't leave his soul in hell. He preached to spirits that are reserved in chains. Okay, so I think it's some reason, somehow, he went and said, by the way, God's still on the throne. By the way, judgment's coming. By the way, all these people that you deceived, I died for them. I don't know what the message was. It doesn't tell us what the message was. It doesn't tell us specifically when it happened. It is interesting that a couple times there, the reference to the angels very close to the time of Noah and some of these angels, we don't also know, but what God at different times has put more of them in chains. We don't have all the answers on that. And look, I'm not going to the book of Enoch to try to find it out, okay? I don't care if a person reads it. Just don't think of it as Bible, okay? Maybe there's some historical truth in there, maybe not, but I'm not going to get over on being dogmatic on something. Bible's true. The Bible's true. This is what God has for us. If God wants us to know more, he would have put it in the Bible. Nothing wrong with doing some research. Nothing wrong with doing some study. Nothing wrong with reading history about Israel and Jerusalem and the things of the day to understand the Bible better. There's no problem with that. But remember, the Bible is dogmatic. The Bible's true. And then Revelation 20, 1 through 3. Remind Satan of this from time to time. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. He's locked up at this point, the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when Jesus comes after the tribulation is done. He's locked up. What does the Bible say the purpose of him being locked up is? To deceive the nations no more until the end of the 1,000 years, and then he's got to be loosed for a little time. Implication, what is Satan doing now? Deceiving the nations. Look around. The nations are so deceived they can't discern between a girl and a boy. Satan's a deceiver. Satan has deceived women to think they're going to be happier in a career rather than being at home with their children. It's deceit. Verse 7, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations. They've had Jesus as their king for 1,000 years. The lion and the lamb are getting along. But they hate. There are certain people that hate the authority of Jesus Christ, even though the earth has been so transformed under him. All the waters are healed by the waters that come out of the throne of Jesus Christ. I really believe during that 1,000 years, we're going to largely be restored. Our earth will be largely restored back to that Edenic, the Garden of Eden state, okay? It's going to be great. But Jesus is ruling with what? A rod of iron. People in that millennial, during that millennial reign, the ones that make it through the tribulation and don't get executed at the judgment of nations, they're still carrying on with a sin nature. They're going to hate authority. When Satan gets loosed, oh, they'll be under Jesus. What are they waiting for? A leader. Disgruntled people awaiting a leader. People that don't like authority awaiting a leader. People that don't like authority awaiting for someone that'll give them a listening ear to undermine someone that's over them so that they don't have to come under authority. And Satan is going to take one more attack. He should go out to deceive the nations, verse 8, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together in battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Remember, people are living a long time during the millennial reign. The population of the earth is going to be amazing. And they went out on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Where are they headed? Jerusalem. To attack Jerusalem. Look, I'm not for anybody attacking Jerusalem now. But they're going to try it then when King Jesus is on the throne. And they forget the only Lord God. We're going to go after Jesus. Don't forget he's got a father. And fire came down from who? The only Lord God out of heaven and devoured them. I don't know if it's 100% placed here, but there's a passage, I believe it's in Zechariah, that just talks about the people's faces being melted and the eyes being melted in their sockets and the tongues being melted in their mouth. You know, God can do nuclear without having to have a nuclear. God can do whatever he wants. And God's going to come down. And what happens to the devil? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yep, that's the end of the devil. Oh, he's got a little free time. You think God, the devil hates the Bible? You think the devil wants you to look at God as the only Lord God? Do you think that the devil wants you to have God as the authority in your life? No, he wants that. And let me tell you, if you get under the devil's authority, the devil's a bad taskmaster. Oh, he wraps sin up like a pretty package. But it is never pretty in the end. It's never pretty to open the package. So they get this judgment and go back to Jude. Finish up just reading Jude, verse 5 and 6. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. I think people largely have forgotten the fear of God. We once knew it. Our nation once knew it. Our churches once knew it. Individual saved people once knew the fear of God. But he says, you once knew it. I just want to remind you, the angels that hated God's authority, look where they ended up. So when somebody creeps in and wants to undermine the authority of the Word of God, or wants to undermine the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, or wants to undermine the authority of the only Lord God, you better get away from that person. Because when they turn on God, God's going to turn on them. Now look, Satan, his judgment's still coming. Somehow those that were with him, doesn't it often work that way? The ringleader somehow gets off and everybody else gets busted. How many have had that happen with an older brother or sister? They got you into trouble and somehow they got off and you're the one that got caught. That ever happen? They're frozen. You know what? It does not pay. And the warning here is for the churches to watch out for certain creeping men. There's a message. May God help us to have this thing right and settled with God. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we have preached your word. We've looked at the word of God. I pray that you would help us to be responsive now. God, if you spoke to our heart, maybe there's something that needs to be adjusted. Maybe there's something that we're fighting that we know that you've told us to do. God, help us to remember you're the Lord. God, help our parents to teach their children about authority. Please work among us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, have thine own way, Lord. Need to come and pray about anything? Anybody struggling with God's authority in your life? Parental authority in your life? Whoever it may be. Maybe you can't stand your boss's authority in your life. There's really two options for that. Get right in your heart, realize he's the boss, or get a new job. All right. A blessed day. Looking forward next week to Daewoo getting baptized. I want to just let you know, Carl, would you just raise your hands so everybody knows who you're looking at? Carl,